Good morning, everybody. You are in the Becoming a Millionaire God's Way class. I want to thank you for your diligence in being here, being on time, and exercising, or at least showing some initiative and some interest in getting some things turned around where these kinds of things are concerned. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, or at least write it down if you're taking notes. We'll start over there today. This session, if we wanted to subtitle it, we should call this Managing Your Meditation. Things that you meditate on are very, very important. Your mindset, very, very important. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. How to become a millionaire in a year. How many of y'all would love to be a millionaire in a year? Lord, have mercy. Huh? 6 months. Allison says 6 months. So we'll talk a little bit about how to become a millionaire in a year. It's really a three-step process, but how many of you know that three-step processes, five-step processes, 10-step processes are no good unless I what? Apply myself. Can I get an amen to that? You know, I deal with people all the time, and in all of my years of ministry, I found out, I finally got it. I finally came to the conclusion that some of the people that I was talking to, even though they had come up with a lot of excuses in life and on and on and on, when I really delved into it, they were not putting in 100% of an effort. And so I, you know, as an athlete, as a reader, as a writer, all of that, you know, I found out that in life, you cannot put in a half effort and what? Get a full result. So the ideas that we're talking about, these kinds of things, you really have to take them to heart, and you really have to make up in your mind that you are going to put a full effort in. If it is the will of God for me to become a millionaire God's way, then I'm going to put a full effort in to make sure that that comes to pass. All right, Joshua 1:8. Here's what it says. I'm reading out of the Living Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Everybody say day and night. Something about meditating in the word day and night. And now that doesn't mean that that you're meditating in it day and night to the point that you cannot go to work, you cannot eat dinner with the family, and on and on and on. But oh boy, even though you have all those other things that you are committed to doing, you certainly can be thinking about the word of God. Amen. At some point or another, that you may observe to do all according that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And so depending on your translation, underline the word you, because this is boiling down to you. This is going to be on you. Your success or failure is going to be as a result of what you do. And here's what I want you to remember. And I learned this from Brother Hagin years and years ago. God has done everything that he is going to do about your healing, your prosperity, your marriage, your family, on and on and on. So the whole idea of God, I'm waiting on you. No, his response would always be, no, I've done everything that I'm going to do. Now it's up to you to take what I've done and apply it to your life. Okay. So the book of the law needs to remain in your thinking, in your heart, in your spirit, and meditating in that means I'm going to make my way prosperous and I'm going to have good success. Everybody say this after me. I am going to make my way prosperous and have good success. Very important. Let me read Joshua 1:8 from the Today English Version. Be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship. Study it day and night and make sure that you obey everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I love that. I think that's a great rendition of it, the Today English Version. George Clason, his last name is spelled C-L-A-S-O-N. He wrote the book called The Richest Man in Babylon. The reason why I love the book is because it's a story about a young cat who's on the road to becoming a millionaire and becoming wealthy and on and on and on and self-sufficient. And so George Clason in this book takes us through a series of things that the young man learns while he's on this road to turning his life around and to becoming successful or whatever, however you want to put it. But in this book, The Richest Man in Babylon, he talks about something called the five laws of gold. And I want to give those to you. I want you to write these down. The five laws of gold. The gold. Everybody nowadays in our economy today, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. There are many, many financial prognosticators who believe that we are going to enter in here soon one of the wealthiest times in American history. Did everybody hear what I just said? Amen. That we're about to enter into one of the wealthiest times of American history. That with our new president, everybody says, I'm not really focused on all of that. I'm focused on that if things are about to get better, I'm trying to figure out how they can get better for me and my family.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So don't spend all of your time allowing the devil to get you sidetracked by all of the other stuff that's going on when many of the other gentlemen, and I mentioned him last week, Warren Buffett and some of the others, in spite of whatever their feelings about our president might happen to be, you know, when everything was said and done, Warren Buffett jumped by 50 million. He jumped by 50 million. And there were other multi-gazillionaires and billionaires that have also jumped as well. So I'm saying that to say, I don't want to get political with you because we're probably never going to see eye to eye on those kinds of things. And that's why I don't get political. But I'm encouraging you to pay attention to the economy, to pay attention to what's going on so that you can make your move.
Amen.
Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Now look at your neighbor and say, get ready to make your move.
Get ready to make your move.
All right, then. Here's the five laws of gold. Number one, these are the five laws of gold, and I wanted you to be familiar with these, and I can't read you the whole book, so I can give you a few of the principles that are found there. Five laws of gold. Number one, save 10%, tithe 10%, live off the 80%. That's your income, whatever your income is. Save 10%, tithe 10%, and live on the 80%. Somebody said, why is it important to tithe 10%? Because the tithe and the offering opens up God's economic system for us. You get God involved in your finances, boy, some marvelous and miraculous things begin to happen. That's law number one. Law number two, put your money to work. Put your money to work. Buy the abandoned house on your block. Buy a little rent house and put some renters in it that you can trust and who will pay on time. Can I get an amen to that? And have an extra cash flow. One of the real keys to becoming a millionaire God's way is creating for yourself other streams of income. Coca-Cola is not there to make you rich.
Amen.
Just look at your tax returns when you get ready to file your taxes here in a little bit. See what that looks like. And whether or not Coke came close to giving you a million this year or whatever, you know, whatever your job or, you know, the independent Tulsa Independent School District, whoever you're working for right now, see how close they got to that $1 million goal. And I can guarantee you they did not come close at all. Hello.
Amen.
Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
No, they didn't. So rule number one or law number one, save 10. Tie 10, live out the 80. Rule number two, put your money to work. What does that mean? You're more than likely you're going to end up creating a home-based business to create other cash flow. You might invent something to create an additional cash flow. You may take on a second job to create an additional cash flow. Last week, I met a gentleman. I was in a conversation with him, and he said, yes, Reverend Wines, how you doing? I wanted to meet you. Da-da-da-da. This is what I do. He said, with the skill sets that I can teach an individual. He's talking about taking people like Isaiah, Doc, Monica, your son, and Dadia. He's talking about taking young people and teaching them a skill set that will bring them in $35 an hour. Who could use $35 an hour? Praise the Lord. $35 an hour. And when he was talking about it, I jumped on it. I said, man, I could see where you and I could partner together on something because you're trying to get people in working jobs and I'm trying to get people to work as well. And $35 an hour sounds real good. Okay. So put your money to work. If you are saving 10% of your income and you're disciplined and you do a good job at that, when the house down the street comes available, you've saved $10,000. Come on, everybody say
$10,000.
Say it's after me. It's possible.
It's possible.
For me.
To save
$10,000 in my personal savings account. All right. So you got to get used to talking like that. And that's why we started on mindset, because I'm going to say stuff that for you right now may seem like an impossibility. Hello. Amen. But it wasn't impossible for you to get your rusty cuffs. It wasn't impossible for you to get your hair did every 2 weeks. Wait. Come on, somebody give me an amen now. So at the end of the day, if you really want to bad enough, you can do it, and it can happen, and it'll be like clockwork. You're paying for things right now. You're not even sure how you're doing it, but you're doing it, and you're making it. Glory to God. And so the very same thing is true in these areas. So rich people, they get their money working for them. That's why generally you'll find somebody who is doing quite well will have about 3 or 4 different businesses that they are operating simultaneously. All right. Why is that? Because as one business is making money, they're reinvesting the profits from that business into other businesses. So this is how you're going to have to start thinking. Number 3, seek sound investment advice. Seek out sound investment advice. I'm not an investment broker, so I'm not the guy that you want to get investment advice on. And I'm talking about primarily the stock markets, those kinds of things. It would be illegal for me to tell you how to invest your money into the stock market. If you were doing well in the stock market and you started out giving out advice to people, it would be illegal for you to give advice as well. You have to be a licensed investment broker to give out that kind of advice, because the government holds those individuals to a very, very high standard. Their goal is to keep people from ripping you and I,
amen,
from ripping us off who don't know what they're talking about. Okay, so you need to seek out good advice. If you want to know something about real estate, I'm your man. I'm licensed to do that. I can absolutely do that, give you some wisdom and some insights where those things are concerned. Okay, praise the Lord. Number 4, avoid fly-by-night deals. Somebody tell me, what's a fly-by-night deal? What do they mean by that? Get rich quick scheme.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
Say it again.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
Thank you, Miss Billy. That's absolutely wonderful. Here today, gone tomorrow. Anybody else? What's a fly-by-night deal? Anybody else have a thought?
Pyramid businesses.
Some, not all, some pyramid businesses can be very here today, gone tomorrow, as Miss Billy said. Yes, ma'am.
Me, it's
like
you trust your money to somebody else.
Trust your money to someone else, and I tell all of our teenagers at the times that we spend together, in case you didn't know this, I tell them and I talk to them about money, finances, on and on and on. In fact, when you send them to youth, you need to start sending them with their offering, have them pull some of their birthday, tithe off their birthday money, whatever, because we're going to have them start sowing back in as well. Just like you sow, we're going to be encouraging them to sow. But when it comes to money and finance, you have to know how to do 2 things, and here they are. Number 1, you need to know how to read. Reading is very important when it comes to finances. You need to know how to read a prospectus. You need to know how to read a financial report when you get one. The more money you have, the more these things like accountants and CPAs and financial people are very important. And get with somebody that can talk language that you understand. Praise the Lord. And don't let anybody say to you, well, no, this is over your head. And you fire them and find somebody else that won't be over your head. Okay. But you got to know how to do 2 things when it comes to finances, riches, and wealth. Number 1, you need to know how to read. Number 2, you need to know how to count. I can't tell you the numbers of stories that I was privy to, because my best friend played in the NFL, and he would tell me the stories about the young boys that were being ripped off. One kid signed fresh out of college, going to the pros, received a $6 million signing bonus. Could anybody use $6 million right now? Could you? Can you think of about 2 things you could do with $6 million if you had a $6 million check? He received, buy what?
Buy a house, buy a car.
Get another car? Yeah. All right. And so $6 million signing bonus, and his agent comes and says, man, I love you. You're going to the big leagues. You just got a $6 million. And he looked at the agent and said, take this check and invest it for me. Mm-hmm. Guess what happened? Somebody tell me what happened.
The agent took a lot of it. He got ripped off.
She said the agent took a lot of it. The agent took the entire $6 million. Mm. When the young man took, this is a true story. When the young man took that agent to court to sue him for his money, the agent. He filed for bankruptcy, and there was nothing that the young man could do to get his money back. You need to know how to read. You need to know how to count. Those are two simple things. Amen. And the brother said, man, I just want to play ball. I just want to play ball. No, you need to pass math and pass reading.
Yes. Amen.
Because if you're going to play ball, you got to know how to read. You got to know how to count, right?
Yeah.
You have to. No doubt about it. That was number four, avoid fly-by-night deals. Here's the last one, the five laws of gold. Remember, no sudden riches. No sudden riches. Can anybody tell me why? Why no sudden riches?
Too good to be true.
Too good to be true. If it's too good to be true, it is. Anybody else? Why no sudden riches?
A lot of times when you get it quick like that, you can't handle it.
Come on. He said a lot of times when you get it quick like that, guess what? You can't handle it.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Why no sudden riches?
Well, I was going to say something similar. And the fact that if you don't know how to save and spend your money wisely and invest it or whatever, and you get it suddenly, then you're more likely to go out and just like spend it and splurge and, you know, so on and so forth. And then you lose it before you have a chance to do anything with it. And you're right back to square one.
Absolutely. And that's why in here, our next session together, we'll talk about you need to make sure that you can be, as an individual, you can be trusted with sudden riches.
Amen.
Last class, I said it. Jesus said, if you handle a little bit of money, okay, you're probably going to be okay with a lot. Monica, what were you going to say? Monica was being generous. Did you know that the average lottery winner is broke in not five, not 10, 3 years? 3 years, they're broke.
Wow.
Look at somebody and say, don't quit your day job. Let me familiarize you with the term. If you've never heard this, it's called easy come,
easy go.
Easy go. It's been proven. You know, if you have no sweat equity in, if you don't have to work for it, yada, 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 man, you'll blow it. You'll spend your cars, socks, Soxes, Vegas, la 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 la, Disney World, yada yada, easy come, easy go. That's why in a lot of families, the reason why a class like this is important, because if you don't teach your kids how to be responsible with money and finances, then your wealth and the wealth and the riches of your house will not make it to the third generation.
Amen.
In other words, when your grandson is finally born and he grows up and becomes 18, 19, 20, 25 years old, whatever money, wealth, increase your family has, he'll never see it unless you teach him the value of a dollar, teach him the value of money, teach him the five laws of gold, so that, you know, he will grow up thinking about money responsibly. Okay? Easy, everybody say it again. Easy come,
easy
go. It's a fact of life. People have proven it out, and people say, oh no, I'd never do that. 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 And they were the very people that did it.
Amen.
All right. Notice God said that he will make our way prosperous. You would make your way prosperous in Joshua 1, 7, 8, and 9. God is not going to make your way prosperous. You make your way prosperous. No one else can practice the word for us, not our spouse, not the pastor, not even God. But once we begin practicing God's word daily, we begin to prosper. He has already released his power in order for us to live a life of prosperity and success. His success is available to us now. And in your notes, I want you to write this down. My success is good for God. People need to see what God is doing in your life. Keith Moore, Jesse the Planist, Keith Moore, I don't remember which one it was, did a marvelous message this past week at the leadership conference. And they said, we need to always be careful to give God all the glory.
Amen.
Don't ever give anybody the impression that you are doing what you're doing because I was smarter than everybody else.
Amen.
Amen. Not smarter than God. So we're leaning on God to get us there and to help us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 15. Remember again, he says in Psalms 1 that if we meditate in the word, what? Both day and night, we would be how? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth our fruit. Our leaves shall not wither. Whatever we do is going to prosper. Amen. Glory to God. You know, some of the Eastern religions will teach us that meditation is emptying your mind. And then you chant it on, you know, you chant, you hum something. I don't know what they do, something like that. But they talk about emptying your mind and then allowing your mind to be filled with stuff. How many of you think that's dangerous? Come on now. Amen. You just can't open up the door of your mind and let anything in your mind.
Amen.
Right? Remember the guy born to lose tattoo on his arm? And the little Japanese guy said, tattoo on mind, on heart, before on arm. So there are things that you just can't open yourself to. When we talk about meditating where the word is concerned, here's what we mean. We're not talking about emptying your mind when it comes to meditating on, like, on God's side. We're talking about filling your heart and mind with the word of God. All right. So your thoughts are on the word, about God, his desire for my life. So you're not just emptying your mind. You're filling your mind with the word of God. 1 Timothy 4:15 links meditation and success. Meditate on these things, it says. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all, that your progress may be evident to all. He says, meditate on these things and give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. God doesn't want you to hide the fact that you're blessed. He doesn't want you to hide the fact that you just bought a five-story mansion with 15 bedrooms.
Amen.
Hello? Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't want you to hide that. Why? He wants your progress to be evident to all. Why is it important to God that people see your progress? Somebody help me out on that. Why is it important that people see your progress? Because I know some of you might struggle with it. Well, Brother Wise, I don't want anybody to know I'm doing right. I'm doing all right. Somebody may try to come and get a personal loan from me. I don't want the church people to hit me up. I don't want you to think that I should do so-and-so. I don't really want anybody to know. But the word here, though, in 1 Timothy says that God wants your progress to be evident to all. Why? Yes, ma'am.
Because it shows
a little louder.
Because it shows what God has done in your life. It demonstrates that what you're saying, that's not going to actually show. It's not just words.
It demonstrates what God has done in your life. Anybody? That's great. Great answer. Anybody else?
It can encourage others.
It can encourage. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It'll encourage others for sure. Anybody else?
It shows God's faithfulness.
Say it again.
Shows God's faithfulness.
Shows God's faithfulness. Absolutely the truth. One more. Anybody else? Why does God want your progress to be evident to all? Yes, yes, sir.
Be a witness.
To be a witness. And then if you wrote down any of those answers, I want you to tag this on to the back of that so that he can get all of the glory.
Amen. Yes.
God wants glory from your life.
Amen.
You know, if you get something good, I was doing something yesterday and I threw my hands up, hey, to God be the glory. I just wanted to give God the glory. Hallelujah. He wants your evidence to be noticed by all so that they will see your good works and glorify your Father, the Bible says, which is in heaven. Very, 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 very important. Now, Deuteronomy 14:22. How many of you believe God wants to be number one in your life? All right, there. How many of you have God as number one in your life right now? Let me see your hand. All right. How many of you have God as number two in your life? Just be honest about it. He's number two, number three, number four, right? God wants to be number one. He wants to be number one in my life. He wants to be number one in my finances. He wants to be number one in my home. He wants to be number one in my career. He wants me to put him first ahead of everything. Deuteronomy 14, verse number 22, the Living Bible says, bring this tithe to eat before the Lord your God at the place he shall choose as his sanctuary. This applies to the tithe of the grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn of your flocks and herds. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first. That's what the Living Bible here says. It's to teach you to put God first. Make him number one. He wants to be number one in my life. Not my career, not all these goals outside of God. God wants my number one goal to be him. He wants to be in love with you. He wants you to be in love with him. He wants to be number one in your life more than you can. I love my kids. I know ladies that love their kids. They would kill for their kids, maim somebody with their kids. Don't you touch my kids. Those are my kids. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, those are God's kids. Amen. God loves them a whole lot more than we do. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
All right. So the ideal here is that we as believers must meet the conditions of our obedience in order to receive what God has promised. If we are willing and obedient, then the condition is we will eat the good of the land. Amen. Brother Hagin said it this way: I learned more by meditating in the word than I ever did through fasting and prayer. I learned more by meditating in the word than I ever did through fasting and prayer. So it's important for you to have some, you and I, to have some moments where we just sit in our chair and meditate on the goodness of God and the word of God. Anybody spend time meditating besides me? I spend a lot of time meditating, getting quiet. A lot of times I will say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do about this situation? And then I will sit and get quiet and wait for the answer. Somebody said, well, I never get answers like that. Well, do you ever sit and get quiet? Because if you sit and get quiet, the answer will come. The answer will come concerning your money, concerning your finances, concerning a job change, concerning an increase, concerning purchasing something or opening up a small business. As I was talking about, God will give you answers to all of these questions where your life is concerned. Psalms 1, verse 1. Psalms 1, verse 1. Happy are those who reject the advice of evil men, who do not follow the examples of sinners or join those who have no use for God. Instead, they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. Just like they are like trees that grow beside a stream. They bear fruit at the right time, whose leaves do not dry up. They succeed in everything that they do. So there's something about this meditating in the word, getting it down on the inside of us. It does. God doesn't just want the word to be in my head. He wants it to be down in my heart, right? I said, right?
Right.
He wants it to be down in my heart, which is very, very important. Now, I gotta jump over here because there's a couple of things that I have to get you before we go. The best way to make $1 million is to simply undertake these three steps. The best way to go about making $1 million is to simply undertake these three steps. Number one, identify people's needs. I've been out on Instagram for the last couple of weeks, and on Instagram, they're posting stories of all of these little teenage 12 and 13 year old kids that went into business for themselves, and they're making $1 million today. There's a story on there about a little girl. I can't remember her name, but she is from Detroit, Michigan. She went into the candle making business, and they're calling her one of the youngest entrepreneurs in America today. 12 years old. Candle business. She sells them online. She sells them in the store, blah, blah, blah. The little girl's making all kinds of money. Identify people's needs. What do people need? What do they need? Somebody came up, you know, I was so tickled when all these little kids came up with the tennis shoes. When they walked, they had all the little flickering lights in the sole of the shoe.
Yeah.
Who needs tennis shoes with flickering lights? Apparently everybody did. Little kids do.
From kids to adults.
Do you, huh?
I said from kids to adults because they have them too.
Adults have them too?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Do they?
Yeah.
Who came up with the idea of putting a roller skate wheels on the back of the little kids' tennis shoes? You guys remember that? I'm going to the airport and the little boys roller skate. I said, man, where y'all on roller skate? They were tennis shoes and they had wheels on the back of those.
Yeah.
Who needs wheels on the back of the tennis shoe? Apparently the little kids do.
Yeah.
Hello? Anybody familiar with Auntie Anne's pretzels?
Yes.
You can buy them mostly in the airports or malls or whatever. Well, I happen to know Auntie Anne's cousin, Sam. And he shared with me when I was preaching in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that Auntie Anne was awakened in the middle of the night and the Holy Ghost gave her the recipe for Auntie Anne's pretzels.
Amen.
And she's making millions now. She's in every major airport in America today. You should always keep a notebook and pen by your bed at night. You're not going to remember the dream when you wake up in the morning most of the time. I keep a notepad and a pen by my bed. So if God is showing me something, I can jump, roll over, write it down and go on back to sleep. Hello.
Amen.
All right. Number one, identify people's needs. Number two, find a solution to such problems and find a way to fulfill those needs. Find an answer. Find a solution. The Beanie Baby. Who needed a Beanie Baby? Apparently a bunch of little kids wanted Beanie Babies. Y'all remember the Beanie Baby? Some of you may still have Beanie Babies. But did you know that the Beanie Baby, when it was created, did not come with a birthday tag on it? There was a man that came up with the idea, let's put a birthday on the Beanie Baby. And he made $1 million. Come on now, amen. You guys that work with, ladies that work with computers, you guys that work with money, you guys that work with cars, you guys that work in auto parts, you guys that have a computer aptitude, the computer is going to keep, it looks like it's going to keep evolving until Jesus comes. So you need to get in on the computer on one of those evolutionary stages and create something to make the computer better, and you would make $1 million.
Amen.
Did you know that the cell phone did not originally come with a camera? Hello? There was a man that created the camera for the cell phone, and he made $1 gazillion. Not $1 million, $1 gazillion.
Wow.
Come on now, give me an amen.
Amen.
These are things. You got the ladies that are school teachers. While you're in the schools teaching and you're up teaching your student, the Lord might give you something to make teaching better.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Very important. Number two. Number three, start a business around your ideal and solution. Start a business around your idea or solution. Let me go back. Number one, identify the need. Number two, find a solution to such problems and find a way to fulfill the needs. Number three, start a business around your idea or solution. Come on now, amen.
Amen.
I get intrigued by these guys that have carpet cleaning businesses. They start carpet cleaning businesses all the time. Aren't there enough carpet cleaning businesses out there? No. The guy says, and I'm going green. We have green products. Stain guards. We'll clean your couch and your chair at no extra charge. Come on now, amen.
Amen.
Rods rolling rib joint. People need ribs.
Amen.
Amen. There's all kinds of avenues out here that you could plug into, and it would absolutely change the way you do business. How do I become a millionaire in a year? Here's a couple of thoughts. Prepare your mind to become a millionaire. That's why we started with mindset, because when you think about becoming a millionaire in the next 12 months, your mind is not ready to receive. Some people's minds are just not ready to receive. How are we going to happen? What are we going to do? How did I? No. Don't worry about the how. Just set your mind. I'm going to become a millionaire in the next 12 months. Aristotle Onassis once said, to be successful, you must act big, think big, and talk big. To become successful, you must act big, think big, and talk big. You keep talking like that, sooner or later, your life is going to line up with the process. If somebody asks you, you're going to become a millionaire, huh, in the next 12 months, how much money do you have in the bank? Just answer and say, I'm already working on my first million.
Amen.
They don't have to know how much you have.
That's right.
$25, $2,500. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, does it?
No.
No, it doesn't matter. Just keep on going. Keep doing what you got to do and keep going. The new Ray Kroc movie is coming out. I don't remember what the name of it is, but the new Ray Kroc movie is coming out. Did you know Ray Kroc? He didn't own the McDonald's restaurant. The McDonald's brothers owned the McDonald's restaurant. He would sell them the malted shake machine thingy so that they could make shakes. But he went to them with the idea and said, listen, I want to buy your restaurant and I'm going to call it McDonald's. Do you know they laughed at Ray Kroc and said, Why would you want to call it McDonald's? Isn't that amazing? Because the M is going to look good in yellow, in gold, okay? So history is full of people that didn't think they could or didn't think it would ever happen. So number one, prepare your mind to become a millionaire. Number two, set a goal to become a millionaire. I didn't bring my gold card. Set a goal to become a millionaire. I didn't bring my gold cards today, but our men in here that have gone to our coaching class, I have a set of gold cards, 3x5 cards, and those 3x5 cards have my goals on them. I read them in the morning when I get up. I read them at night before I go to bed. It says something like, the first card says wealth. Another card in there says something about $2.7 million in the next few years, la 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 la. Another card says $300,000 in liquid cash. Y'all can use a little liquid cash, right? It says $1 million in real estate investment. It has on there books. I have on there my own television show.
Amen.
So instead of hosting a show, they're just going to call me up and say, all right, we're ready to give you your own show.
Amen.
Can I get a better amen than that?
Amen.
All right, I don't know what your goals are. Somebody tell me, why do I read those cards in the morning when I get up and at night when I go to bed? Somebody tell me why. Yes, sir.
Because you say what you have.
Because you can have what you say. That's what you said, right? Yes, sir. That's a great answer. Yes, ma'am.
So you're thinking about them all day and then at night when you stay up.
You're thinking about them all day and at night when you go to bed. All right? Somebody said, oh, Pastor Billy Joe, I don't know. Well, what I'm actually working on is the 75 trillion cells in my body. When I get up in the morning, I need to activate them and let them know that I'm moving toward my goals. And when I go to bed at night, before I put my head on that pillow and I'm out in 5 minutes, anybody else out in about 5 minutes when you hit the pillow? I think I'm out in about five. I'm not sure. I haven't timed myself yet. But at nighttime, you're reminding the 75 trillion cells in your body, I'm going to bed now. But while I'm sleeping, I'm moving in the direction of my goals.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. That beats watching Freddy versus Jason. Now, I do have to remember that I do watch a little bit of Perry Mason Monday through Friday, 10:30. And I have to remember when Perry Mason goes off, put on my gold cards. Right? Because I don't want the last thought before I doze off to be Perry. Number three. Look in, prepare your mind, set your goal, look into your heart for your strengths. Look into your heart for your strengths. We're going to stop right there. We can't go any further because I don't want to get into anything else, but I want to pick up there and I'll talk a little bit about not being covetous. Got to talk about that because God doesn't want you and I to be greedy. If you're on the road to wealth, you cannot afford to be greedy. You cannot afford to do everything that you can, illegally, to try to get money and wealth. You just cannot do that. And then also the biggest one is you cannot forget about God. God. We'll hit that on the next show, next class. Anybody have any questions before we get ready to go today? Yes, sir.
What was number three?
Which part? Which one?
Identifying people's needs and then finding solutions.
Identifying what people's needs.
Start a business around your idea.
Start a business. Number three, start a business around your idea or solution. Start a business. Small business. It could be any number of things. How many of you know that the guy that the, have you ever flown out of Tulsa and your bags did not land with you when you got home? Anybody, has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Wave at me if that has. There is a man that started a business retrieving luggage. So when you fly and your bags don't make it home, they're lost. And the airport has to find them, and they have to pay someone to deliver them to your front door. Did you know that that business is not owned by the airport?
No.
It's owned by a man that saw the need and started the business. So he doesn't do anything all day, but they retrieve bags and drive bags to the homes of their customers, and they charge it back to the airport, $75 or $100 a trip, depending on how far they have to go. Start a business around the solution that you've created to meet people's needs. Hello.
Amen.
I'm amazed at the number of vendors that show up at soccer games and sell hot dogs or bottled water.
Yeah.
I was in New York City last summer, and there were brothers, and it was hot. Oh, Lord, it was hot. And there were brothers on the street corner selling bottled water for a dollar.
Yep.
And they were selling that water left and right. Bow, bow, bow. Did you know that there's a guy in New York City who walks around, he's the diaper cowboy? He's got on a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, no shirt, and a diaper? A big old pamper, and he takes pictures with tourists that come to New York just to see him. He makes about $100,000 a year.
Wow.
Or more. And a lady, she showed up in a diaper. And she said, "Well, if you can do it, I can do it. I'm the diaper lady. And I'm taking pictures with people." And then she had clothes on. And I'm taking pictures with people too. "Do you know?" He said, "Oh, no, you're not. I'm the original diaper guy, and you can't wear a diaper." He took her to court and sued her, and he won.
Wow.
So what's your dream? What's your gift? Somebody said, "Well, I'm old, Pastor Watts. I'm older." So? What does that have to do with anything? There's consulting businesses out here. There's life coaches out here. Let me close with this last one. There are people out here that believe God for another car in their family so that they could go out and make grocery deliveries for senior citizens. Senior citizens doesn't want to go out. She doesn't want to go out and buy her own food. I'll go for her. And they created a business.
Oh, wow.
It goes on and on and on. Who would have thought that the Uber business would come along and rival the taxi cab? The taxi cab has been around forever.
Yeah.
But now you got Uber.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're doing millions of dollars in business. So what's your Uber? What can you do? The babysitters and the child care ladies, and even though you don't want to stay in that forever, but you could create something to help the industry. Right?
Yeah.
Just a thought. All right. Father, we thank you for our time together. We honor and love you. We give thanks today. We thank you for stirring up our pure minds. Lead us and guide us. Show us things that are yet to come according to your will. We give thanks today in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
And amen.